Good morning, everyone. It's good to have all of you with us. We have quite a bunch of visitors with us, and we're grateful that you're with us. If you haven't yet filled out a visitor card, that should be available to you. We also have the QC code. Is that what it's called? I forgot. QI code? QR code. Eventually, I'm going to get caught up in the 21st century. Sorry. That code is on a little slip in the foyer. Please fill that out. We'd love to have record of your attendance with us, but we're really glad that you're here and hope that you'll be back again. To our membership, we want to make a prayer request to add to the announcements of Linda Peterson, who for 23 days has been struggling with a migraine, and so she's asked for prayers. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to say a prayer with me right now. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the privilege of prayer that allows us this opportunity to speak to you and say to you our needs, and so grateful for that blessing. We add to our prayer concerns Linda today, and we pray that you'll watch over her and help her to heal soon. But Father, I say a prayer today for all the women in this room, women who have been mothers and women who are children, for their blessing in our culture, their blessing in our society. Thank you, Father, for granting us this wonderful relationship, the uniqueness of marriage, the uniqueness of motherhood, and we pray that you'll grant them all this special blessing today. For those of us whose mothers have left us and gone to be with you, and pray that you'll help us in our own grief and in our own sorrows, and help us celebrate the time that we've been given to have beautiful lives like that in us, in our presence, and in our memories. Forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would open to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read from there in just a moment. Once, at least once, our middle son Daniel, when eating dinner, which was probably breakfast for dinner, which was his personal favorite, said to Tracy, "Mom, you are such a good cook, you could get a job at McDonald's." Or even the most classic one that he ever said is, "Mom, you're so pretty, but I think you need some lipstick." Being a mom's a tough job. We recognize that, and today in our society, we honor that. Moms recognize it, though, all too well. When they send their children into life, they wonder if they've done all that they could. And truthfully, we can all do whatever we can, and we are divinely instructed in Scripture how to be good parents, how to be a good father, how to be a good mom. But yet we're all imperfect, and we live with that reality in our lives. But those relationships that we have define us and pattern in our lives what our future personage will be. So moms, thank you for doing all you can. But the thought occurred to me that if there was a Mother's Day in the first century, what would Jesus have said about his mom? Now, I can tell you all sorts of things about mine, and I'm sure you can tell me all sorts of things about yours. But what would Jesus have said about his mom? Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us at all to elevate her or put her in some kind of place where she deserves an inordinate amount of respect or even worship, as in some churches of our day. But yet there was some significance, obviously, in the fact that she was chosen by God to do something for him. Just like the nation of Israel was chosen by God to be his people, and God said that, "I've chosen you, and you are not great in number. You're not greater than all the other people, but I've chosen you for this purpose." And so in a very real sense, that applies to her. But she had a very important and significant place in that story. So in Luke chapter 1, notice in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this and kept pondering what kind of salutation this would be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If Jesus was at creation, the Bible says that he was, and Colossians chapter 1 is one example, then obviously God in his Son, when his Son arrives and is born with Mary, and his eyes open as a child, and he sees her, and he reconnects with who he is as God in the flesh, he knew who his mother was. He knew at some point, and I don't know when, don't ask me, I ain't going to tell you, but at some point in his development, he understood who she was, and what would happen in their lives. So what would Jesus have said about his mom? Well, he probably would have said, "My mom's life was difficult." And you would think right away with this grand announcement that comes from the angel, "Mary, this is what's ahead of you, and he is going to be the great son of David who will be given a kingdom forever, and he is going to be called great, and you are going to be the mother of this great and awesome child." But I think Jesus would have said to his mom on Mother's Day, "Mom, thank you for all the difficulty you went through for me." Because what was that difficulty? Well, you remember Mary acknowledges it. She says, "How is this going to happen? Behold, I'm a virgin. How can I have a child?" And if you know the rest of the Bible story, you know an angel appears to Joseph and tells Joseph that he's going to be given a child and his name will be called Jesus because he is going to fulfill the kingdom prophecy that the Son of David would be given a kingdom and it would never be taken away. And Joseph had to be persuaded by that divine revelation when he found out that his wife was, fiancée, his woman, Mary, who he was engaged to marry, was now with child. He had to be persuaded to stay. Her life's reputation would be tarnished by what God had called her to be. Even in John chapter 8, in verse 41, some three decades later in Jesus' adulthood, his enemies will say, "We are not illegitimate children," when they're trying to call him down and oppose him for what he is teaching. What they're doing is saying, we know who you are, and we know what your mom was. I think Jesus would have said, thank you for bearing that difficulty, the tarnish of your own personal reputation, so you could do what God asked you to do. And then the reality is this, is that Jesus would be born of a virgin, born to Joseph and to Mary. And what the Bible tells us historically is that their life was the life of poverty. Now, it's not true that everyone that was a Jew in the time who was not some important person within culture, because there really was no middle class in the ancient world like you and I think of. Typically, the vast majority of people were either slaves or very poor. But even the law acknowledged the presence of poverty within culture and granted those who had poverty issues in their lives to be able to continue to worship with God's people and offer sacrifices in the way that God needed to be honored in. As an example, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. If you go back and look in Leviticus chapter 12, you'll see that that is God's provision for the fact that they were poor, unable to provide the regular sacrifices in connection with his presentation. Case in point, what would Jesus have said? Mom and Dad, thank you for being and enduring the hardship of poverty. Can you imagine the king of the world, born in a silver spoon society, specifically a silver spoon home? And he goes out and preaches to the world and says to them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Even Paul will make the point to the church at Corinth, encouraging them and following through with their help for those who were poverty-stricken, reminding them that even Jesus, when he came to the earth, he gave up everything so that he could accept the poverty of his life so that he could glorify God in the work that was assigned to him. Well, Jesus' acceptance of who he was reflects the reality of the family in which he was born. Sometimes we think of our success in life in terms of money. But Joseph and Mary's life would have been difficult from the beginning of the presence of Jesus in their lives. Her reputation tarnished, Joseph's too. But they endured the hardship of poverty. And God never took them out of that, the life that they lived as the parents of Jesus. And so, when you think about it, you wonder about, sometimes you feel poor. Maybe you're trying to provide everything that your children want, and you don't realize that so much of what you've already given them is more than they need. And sometimes it's that we might find ourselves struggling to even provide what we think we need. But there's a story told of a woman who had spent many of her years living in a mobile home that was small for her family of seven. It was pretty run down. She didn't have anyone or the money to have anything repaired. And she talked about raising her children in that kind of environment. Then one day her son came and announced that his best friend had run away from home. The woman's name was Jean Barron. And she said, I looked at my house and I said, I don't understand. My son's best friend lives in such a nice house. He always has everything that my son wants. Why did he run away from that? And so she asked her son, why did he leave? He had everything. And his son said, well, in their house, they had lots of things, but they didn't have much love. And I'm not trying to be Hallmarkish or inordinately emotional. But that when Jesus would have remembered his mom and thanked her for bearing the burden of what the call of obedience to God would have meant to her reputation in society, and what it would have meant for his upbringing around his peers, he didn't see what she failed to give him. He would have praised her for what she did. She loved him. But see, that wasn't Jesus' life growing up, though. You may remember the passage in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, that when Herod had found out that some king of the Jews had been born from some traveling wise men, you remember the story. Herod tried to kill all the boys who were under the age of 2. And they had to flee their homeland and go and travel down to Egypt. Imagine sitting around the table and you're hearing your parents talk about when they used to live in Bethlehem. And then you find out that the reason that they went to that foreign place in Egypt was because of you. At his birth, Jesus was never liked. And you might say, well, at least Jesus was loved in his family. Well, I'm not going to question that his mother loved him. But you know the rest of the story as well. John chapter 7 and verse 1, when Jesus is walking in Galilee, the Bible says he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. And you say, well, that's right, the Jewish leadership, because he always challenged them, they were trying to kill him. Well, what was his brothers trying to do? In that same passage, the brothers are saying, yeah, you just need to go to Jerusalem and you just need to really convince them who you are. That's like brothers saying, you know, here's a gun. It's got a bullet in it. And let me show you how to push the trigger. That was the sibling. There's no such thing as sibling rivalry with Jesus' brothers. It wasn't rivalry. It was they despised him. So what would Jesus said about his mother? At least I know you love me. And the truth is that he would see when the difficulty of her life because of him, her tarnished reputation, the life of poverty to which he had to be born, to being born in a family where his brothers wanted him to be dead. And then her husband dies. Now, I can't turn to a scripture and says that that's what happened, but most Bible commentaries will always observe that when Jesus dies himself on the cross, that only thing that remains is Mary. And to his beloved disciple John, he entrusts the care of her. Now, that may have been common, of course. If Mary was typically very young when she married a man who was older than her. And you ladies, you always outlive us. I don't know why that is. But if she started much younger than him, he would have died very early, perhaps. But we know that at least at the age of 12, Joseph is there. But we don't know how long Joseph lasts. And so here is this single mom, raising a bunch of boys, one born to be the Son of God, and the others who want to make sure he dies in Jerusalem. I think if Joseph was alive, maybe things are different. I don't really know. But I do know this, that if Jesus thought about his mother, he would have said, Mom, I'm sorry that you were alone. And even when you were alone, you loved me. Because the truth is, as a woman, she had extraordinary faith. The passage that we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." She has this enormous confidence that whatever is her assignment from the Lord, she's going to be able to do it. Even look in verse 45. When it says that she goes to see Elizabeth, verse 41, the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and cries out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it just happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come in? And behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed." Elizabeth would know exactly why Mary was chosen. And if Jesus had told his mother how much and what he thought about her, he would tell her, "Thank you for believing." Because she had a strong commitment to do the will of God. "I am the Lord's bondservant," she said. "And I am the Lord's bondservant. May it be done to me as you have said." I suppose Jesus would have said to his mom, "Thank you so much for doing what God asked you to do." And going back to Joseph, while it's true that Joseph leaves her alone after presumably dying and leaving Mary needing care so that Jesus would pass that on to John, when the angel arrives to Joseph and tells Joseph, "This is who he will be," Joseph takes her to be his wife. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can guarantee when in our younger years in our marriage, I was not very attentive to all the needs that my wife had. Illustrated by one particular case in Arizona when I got wrapped up in my little ego and got invited to be president of an organization in the city of Prescott while my wife was well pregnant and had an operating daycare in our house with our children. So she had like 10 children in her house. And I'd be gone sometimes at nighttime when she needed me home. I don't know what Joseph did for Mary. And I don't know what you do for your wives. But I think what Joseph would have seen with his mother was that when she had the support from her husband, she probably relished in it. And when it was gone, Jesus saw her faith. Because faith perseveres when things aren't good. Faith doesn't persevere when things are wonderful. Faith perseveres when things are hard. So when Luke tells us that when all of that information comes to her and she treasures these things in her heart, isn't that true what most mothers do? They try to remember what the baby looked like when the baby's born. Maybe you try to remember that first thing. Some of those first things when the baby is born you don't want to remember. But when Jesus saw his mother, he saw a woman who, in a life of difficulty, a life that God's will caused to tarnish her reputation. A life that put her in unending poverty. In a life where he was in his own family disliked. And this is speculative on my part, but I'm going to say it. Then why didn't Jesus ask one of his brothers to take care of Mary? As the older son, why not pass it on to the second son who loves his mother? Maybe because the boy's resentment of Jesus and despising of Jesus and the way Jesus took care of her made them grow up to be the kind of boys initially who didn't have any care or kind respect for their mother. And so he had to choose John. So when Jesus writes his Mother's Day card, "Mom, thank you for loving me when it seemed like I was the only one who loved you. And taking care of our family when I was the only one who seemed to love you." Mother's Day is always a mixed bag. For those of us who've lost our mothers, we miss them. Sometimes people who are in troubled marriages, or maybe people who've lived a life of childlessness, it's a mix. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But what I want to say to you all is that we're all imperfect. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so did Mary. But Jesus loved her and gave his life for her so that for all of eternity she could be with her Father. And Jesus died for you so that for all of eternity you could be with God. When she was told by that angel that she was bringing into the world the perfect light, that would bring life and hope to a world that could never find it on its own, Jesus knew his mother was going to be the person to make it part of God's plan. Every one of you in this room who are mothers, you've been part of God's plan. If you think you've failed, you haven't. People have to grow up and make their choices to serve God. But you've done all you can do. Just as Mary did all she could do. But I will say this. Don't allow any of your shortcomings to be a reason for a shortness of your faith. Because if Mary, with her bondslave of the Lord mentality of faith, could endure the reputation tarnishing of her life, if she could endure a life of poverty, if she could endure a family that did not understand who her son was, with God's help, you can endure anything. Even 3 o'clock in the morning feedings. And children who don't talk nice to you like they should. Because God knows the blessing of the work that you do. Just like Jesus understood the blessing of what Mary did.